Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
How's it going? My name is Jimmy, and I'm an alcoholic. First of all, let me say it's a pleasure to be up here. It's an honor. This is where I got sober. I got sober in that room over here, but it's the same fellowship. What a privilege to be able to share my story. I'm going to basically run down what it used to be like, what happened, and what it's like now. But since I have a lot more time to talk, I'm going to talk a lot about the steps, you know, because that's what worked for me, and that's what changed my life, you know. So I'll qualify real quick, you know. I'm definitely an alcoholic. I can't control the amount of liquor I drink once I take the first drink. I developed the phenomenon of craving, you know, the mental obsession coupled with the physical allergy. It talks about that in the doctor's opinion. And so once I take that drink, once I physically ingest a drink of alcohol, I cannot stop whatsoever. I keep drinking, and I always end up in trouble, fall on my face, piss my pants. You know, I'm a blackout drinker, a binge drinker. I'm an alcoholic. You know, I'm a garbage disposal. I'll drink anything. Vodka, rum, tequila, gin, brandy, scotch, wine, whatever, you know, it didn't matter. You know, and I started drinking when I was about 16 years old. And, you know, I started drinking alcoholically right from the get-go. And, you know, my disease progressed just like everybody's story I've ever heard in Alcoholics Anonymous. I never heard a story in here of anybody saying their drinking got better, you know, or anything like that. It always gets worse, and that's true for me too, you know. So I started drinking experimentally, you know, and I was just trying to fit in with my friends or whatever, you know, and it just progressed, you know, and I started out like a weekend thing, and then pretty soon I was drinking every day, and I graduated high school and, you know, landed good jobs, and all my money went to support my habit. You know, if I got paid on a Wednesday, my money was gone by Friday. If I got paid on Friday, my money was gone by Wednesday. And then I'd be asking my grandparents or my mom for money for gas to make it to work. You know, my whole life revolved around getting messed up. I didn't even care about work. I was just going there because I got a paycheck. You know, and I started getting in trouble with the law. Everything I've ever been arrested for is alcohol-related, luckily. You know, I have 7 drunken publics that I can remember and a DUI. And, you know, and I started getting a string of these drunken publics when I was in my early 20s. I remember I got 2 in 6 days, you know, like 3 in a month. Anyways, I got a lot of them right in a row, and the county of Napa thought it would be a good idea if I did a drug and alcohol program. And so I decided to do that. You know, it was that or face jail time. So I decided to do their program. And I was kind of sincere about it a little bit, you know, but I had this big reservation when I was going through that program for the first time that, you know, I'm only going to do this program because they're making me do it. And when I'm done, I'll start drinking again. I'll be okay by then. You know, so I did stay sober in that program. I had to pee in a cup 2 times a week, you know, and I had to go. It was an outpatient program, so I had to show up every day from like 8 in the morning to 4 in the afternoon. They gave you a lot of good worksheets and, you know, and introduced me to Alcoholics Anonymous. They said I need to go to 4 AA or NA meetings a week. And, you know, so that's when I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous. And when I went to those meetings, I never said anything. I just sat in the back of the room, you know, or I wouldn't participate. I'd just sit there and listen, you know, and, or not listen, you know, and, but sometimes that I did listen, I would hear, the message, you know, and I would hear the, people were able to stay sober, but I was just not ready, you know, but I knew if I was ever serious about, getting sobriety, I knew where I could go, you know, but, it wasn't my time, you know. I completed the program. I got my certificate that says I did, and my probation got lessened, and You know, and then I got this job working in Napa at this place, and I happened to work with a bunch of people that were, you know, alcoholics and drug addicts. And one of them offered me a beer after work, and I was like, sure, you know, why not? I deserve it. You know, I finished the program. I'm not on strict probation anymore. I don't have to pee in a cup, and I can handle it this time. It won't be that bad. You know, and it talks about that on page 30. It says, the great obsession of every abnormal drinker is that he somehow, someday, thinks he will be able to control and enjoy his drinking. Then it goes on to say that the persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. You know, and that's true. You know, so I picked up that drink again, and I drank the whole drink and one drink, and then I was off and running. You know, and I was able to moderate or control my drinking for about a week. You know, for a week I was okay. You know, and then next thing you know, my disease progressed and I was just ripping and running again. And, you know, and I was out another 2.5 years or so, or however long it was. But I'm going to fast forward a little bit to get to my bottom so I can start talking about the solution. So I was out and I was on other stuff too. This is Alcoholics Anonymous. You know, I don't want to talk too much about drugs, but in the end, that's what brought me, you know, I think it just brought me here quicker, you know. So anyways, I was doing alcohol as well as other substances, and it was taking a toll on me mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, you name it, it was doing it, you know, and, my life was really chaotic. I was hopeless, you know, and experience what they talk about, the incomprehensible demoralization. You know, I think that term right there is talking about your bottom, you know. So I wasn't getting much sleep towards the end of my run. You know, I was somehow I managed to hold a job. You know, I would go to work during the day, and then I would get off work, and then I'd go drink. You know, at the bar, I'd sit at the bar for quite a few hours and I'd get drunk and wasted. And then I'd drive home and I'd do my drugs and I'd stay up all night, wouldn't sleep, and then I'd do it all over again, you know. And it was just horrible, man. I don't wish that on nobody. And anyways, it took me to deep places. Basically, I became like a schizophrenic. You know, I was like a basically drug-induced schizophrenic from the stuff I was doing. And I was absolutely in horrible shape. I was talking to myself. I was hearing voices. I was thinking false realities. And I was just out there, crazy. You know, I can relate to people that I see around this neighborhood and in Vallejo and other places that are digging in garbage cans talking to themselves, because that's where I was headed. You know, so I know what it's like to talk to yourself and be schizophrenic and hear voices in your head and all that stuff. That's how I was when I came in here. So, so I ended up losing my job again that I'd got back, and realized I had a problem. And I'm a union pipe fitter, so I went down to the union hall and I told this guy down there that, you know I screwed up and I need help. You know, I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I don't know what to do. You know, he's all, well, you know, you still have Kaiser coverage through us, so why don't you try to join a program or something? You know, so I had Kaiser coverage, so I went to the CDRP thing in Vallejo and attempted to get sober again. And I'll tell you what, it was really hard for me to get sober this last time around. I was all screwed up still from all the stuff I'd done, still hearing voices, still talking to myself, and I didn't want to participate in any meetings or, you know, I would go, but it was hard. I couldn't even get 60 days. You know, it was like I'd get 18 days, then I'd relapse. I would get 20 days, I'd relapse. I would get 40 days, I'd relapse. 36 days, relapse. You know, and I couldn't string this thing together. You know, and it's funny, I heard the solution at every meeting I went to. Almost every meeting I go to still today, I hear, do 90 meetings in 90 days, get a sponsor, work the steps. There's a solution. Get a sponsor, work the steps. You know, and you know, so on my one of my last relapses, I was hearing voices and stuff, so I wanted to shut them up. You know, so I figured the best way to shut them up was to take a drink of alcohol. So I went to the store and I got a tall can of Pabst Blue Ribbon. And I drank that, and that wasn't enough. So I went back to the store and got another one, because I developed the phenomenon of craving. You know, I'm an alcoholic. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. So I went and got another tall can. And I drank that. That wasn't enough. And then I was at the liquor store. I got a pint of Kessler, you know, and I drank that. That wasn't enough. And then I hopped in my car and went to the bar and had like six or seven more drinks. And, you know, and I was driving home. And I lived in Fairfield at the time. And I passed by here, right down that road where those cars are driving right now. And something possessed me to pull into a meeting here. You know, and I can't remember what day it was, but it was the end of a 6:30 meeting. And it was in that building over there. And I was in there, and I was in really bad shape. And, you know, all emotional, you know, in tears. And I sat in the back of the room, and it was almost time for the meeting to end. And I raised my hand, and I said, "I'm Jimmy, I'm an alcoholic, and I need help. You know, and I don't know what to do. You know, and I'm just tired of drinking." I don't remember exactly what I said, but it was something to that effect. And, you know, there was a lot of people in that meeting, and one person came up to me after the meeting, and he handed me a piece of paper with his name and his phone number on it, and said, "If you're really serious about this, give me a call tomorrow." You know, so I went home, and I slept it off, and I picked up that phone, you know, and I called that number, and that man became my sponsor. You know, and we got into the book, Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and I started reading it, and it started making sense. You know, right here on the forward to the first edition, it says, "We of Alcoholics Anonymous are more than 100 men and women who have recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body." So it tells us what Alcoholics Anonymous was back when this was written. You know, it's Bill Wilson and the first 100 alcoholics that got sober is what the WE stands for. And it also tells me what we recover from, a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body. To show other alcoholics precisely how we recovered is the main purpose of this book. You know, so all the answers are in here. You know, but I started reading this stuff, and when I was reading this in the beginning, it was hard for me to comprehend because I was so screwed up, you know, and I was just doing it because I was seeing results, you know, and I was able to relate to some of the stuff in here, you know, on page 21 when it talks about the real alcoholic and all that other stuff, I was able to relate to that, you know, but, you know, I got into the book and, you know, and I got to, did a bunch of reading, you know, and learned a little bit about the history. I read the forewords and all these stories and stuff, but I had a hard time retaining it and remembering it, you know. But I had my sponsor who sat down with me and read every single page and every single word, you know, and helped me understand it, you know. And I was starting to feel a little bit of relief, and I was stringing a few days together, you know. And, you know, I did relapse one more time, and I like to share this because I think it's important. I had a sponsor, you know. I was going to meetings, a bunch of meetings, and I was working the steps. But and when I made it to step three, he gave me an assignment. He said, "I want you to memorize the third step prayer." And I decided not to memorize it. You know, whatever, I don't need to memorize it. And I didn't take it serious, you know, and I ended up relapsing, you know, and I wondered for the longest time why I why I relapsed. You know, I thought I was doing everything I was supposed to be doing. I had a sponsor, I was reading the book with him, I was working the steps, I was going to meetings. You know, but what I didn't realize at the time, what I was doing is I was coming to meetings and I was meeting with my sponsor and all that, but in my other spare time, you know, I was hanging out with the same people that were doing the same stupid shit. You know, I was still hanging around dope houses and bars and people that are still drinking, and it's probably not a good idea if you're sincere about getting sober to hang out at a bar or places like that, you know, and that's what I was doing, you know. And then I came to the realization that nobody out there in that type of world cares less of what I do with my life. You know, I had to do this thing for me. You know, so I decided to cut off all my normie friends and call my sponsor. I was only out for about 5 days, you know, and I was tore up, you know, just from what I'd learned reading the first few pages, you know, and working the first three steps. And so I called my sponsor back up and I said, "I want to get busy again," you know, and so I'm going to give you a little rundown of the 12 steps as I understand them, as I've learned from reading this book with my sponsor and numerous other people that I've sponsored in the program. So step one starts on page 30. So I'm going to read this real quick. It said, the idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. I was just talking about that. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost self that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. You know, so I had to admit, you know, down here, deep inside, that I was an alcoholic. You know, and then there's the second part of the step that I had a hard time with. We admit we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. For whatever reason, I couldn't realize, I had the hardest time realizing that my life was unmanageable, even though every time I took a drink, it was unmanageable. You know, but I heard it somewhere explained pretty good that caught my attention. You know, if you're having a hard time in that category and realizing that your life is unmanageable, ask yourself this question: why are you here? You know, if your life is so manageable, what are you doing in a meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous? You know, and that made a lot of sense to me. You know, so every time I pick up a drink, I realize it now, I go absolutely nowhere in life. I can't accomplish anything. I lose jobs. I lose cars. I end up in handcuffs. Can't pay my bills. I lose my mind. I'm powerless. You know, step two. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore sanity. Right here, it says, I don't even know what it says, but I had this bookmarked in it. It's in the wrong spot. Anyways, came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore us to sanity. You know, I had to believe that something out there that wasn't me, you know, because everything I tried to do on my own will didn't work. You know, if I could restore myself to my own sanity, I already would have. You know, and I couldn't. You know, and I had a kind of a hard time when I came in here about the God thing. You know, and the great thing about this program is, and one of my favorite things about this program is, it doesn't matter what you believe in. You know, it says back here, and I guess you could label me a book thumper because I read this book all the time. But it says, and this is in the forewords, it says, and everything is in this book, and it explains it all. That's what I love about it. All the answers to my problems are in here. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a religious organization. Neither does AA take any particular medical point of view, though we cooperate widely with the men of medicine as well as with the men of religion. There it is in the book. You know, and thank God for that, you know, because I felt welcome, you know, and, you know, for whatever reason, my upbringing or something turned me off from God, and, but I was open-minded enough to give this thing a chance, and it ended up working, and then I developed into a greater relationship with a higher power I have today. You know, so just as long as you're open-minded and just a little bit of willingness to believe in AA, a power greater than you, because we're like 40 people in here, you know, that's a power greater than one person. You know, that works. You know, and I've seen people's life change using that concept. You know, so step two, that's how I did that. You know, I just got a little open-minded and a little willing. You know, step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. You know, good stuff right here. I love this stuff. You know, we read how it works at every meeting. And I'm going to read the last part of it. Our description of the alcoholic, the chapter two, the agnostic, and our personal adventures before and after make clear three pertinent ideas. A, that we were alcoholic and could not manage our own lives. B, that probably no human power could have relieved our alcoholism. See that God could and would if He were sought. Very next sentence. Being convinced of A, B, and C, we are at step three, which is that we decided to turn our will and our lives over to God as we understood Him. Just what do we mean by that, and just what do we do? I had a hard time. I didn't fully understand how I'm supposed to turn my life over to whatever it is that I'm supposed to believe in. You know, and my sponsor broke it down to me in simple terms where it was understandable and something that I could do. He said, you're just making a decision. He's all, look at it like this. You're making a decision to go through with the rest of the steps, because ultimately that's what God would want you to do. You know, so that made a lot of sense to me. I could do that. Okay, I'll make a decision to go through with the rest of the steps. And it's funny, the first time I worked these steps with my sponsor, a lot of the stuff I didn't understand, but I did it anyways. And what I found out is as I did these steps and I moved forward, you know, by the time I got to step six, step three made sense. You know, so I kept moving along with the steps and all the other ones I did prior, even though I wasn't sure exactly what I was doing, made a whole lot of sense. You know, so, I memorized the third step prayer after that relapse, you know, and I've been saying it on a daily basis ever since, and I'm still sober. You know, and, it's amazing. You know, I say this a lot at meetings, you know, how would you know it doesn't work if you never tried it? You know, it's so true. I was so quick to say everybody in here was full of shit, but I wasn't willing to try it. You know, and, I was quick to say the steps wouldn't work. I was quick to say prayer wouldn't work. I tried the steps. I'm still sober. I try to pray and it works. You know, I try to pray and my prayers get answered. What a concept, huh? You know, it's amazing. You know, we're so stubborn and hard-headed, and it talks about that in the back of the book, you know, contempt prior to investigation. And you know, if anybody doesn't know what that means, it says disregard before finding out. You know, it's amazing. Our minds are out to kill us. You know, they really are. That's where it all starts. You know, it talks about in here somewhere that our problem centers in the mind. You know, and I understand that more today than I did when I got in here. You know, my mind's out to kill me. You know, and I need help. You know, so step four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Okay, so right after you say the third step prayer, you know, and you turn your life over, talks a little bit about what to do after the third step, and then it says, next we launched out a course of vigorous action, the first step of which is personal house cleaning, which many of us have never attempted. Though our decision, step three, was a vital means very important, and crucial step, it could have little permanent effect unless at once, right away, followed by a strenuous effort to face and be rid of the things in ourselves which have been blocking us. Our liquor was but a symptom, so we had to get down to causes and conditions. And, basically, if you don't know what the fourth step is or you never worked one, it's just looking at you on a piece of paper. You know, I never bothered to look at myself when I was drinking and using. You know, I had no clue. You know, I was just ripping and running, and that was normal to me. You know, when I got sober and all the feelings came about, you know, and I got to see me on a piece of paper, and what I realized is that I wasn't all I was cracked up to be, you know, and I had a lot of skeletons in my closet that I didn't want to share with anybody, and I was just a mess, you know, had a lot of character defects and a lot of stuff wrong on the inside, you know, and so I got all this down on paper, you know, with the help of a sponsor, you know, you know, there's a list for your resentments, there's a list for your fears, there's a list of harms done to others, and there's a list for sex conduct, you know. So I did all those lists, you know, and, it's a painful process, you know, you're opening up the past, you're realizing that, you know, it was horrible. You know, I was a bad person, you know, I was an asshole. I was a manipulator, a cheater, a liar, a thief. You know, no good. You know, and I finally seen that, I'm like, wow. You know, and I wish everybody out there, even the normies, would do a fourth step. You know? But, you know, and then the fifth step, you know, that's when I really started feeling the power of the program. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. The fifth step is basically, in my opinion, telling your life story to another individual and going over your fourth step. You know, getting rid of all your secrets. Just say, for example, you're in a program, and if you're a man, you're in a program for men. If you're a woman, you're in a program for women. And they give you an assignment, and they say, I want you to write your life story down on a piece of paper, and I want you to go into a lot of detail, and I want you to share it in front of the group. You know, so you're probably, you know, feeling the sobriety thing, and you're going to write down a bunch of stuff, you know, and you're going to get real deep and in detail, but you're not going to say one thing. You know, you're not going to tell somebody one thing because you're afraid you're going to be too humiliated or whatever. That's the one thing you need to tell somebody. In my opinion, all the other stuff doesn't even matter. You know, it's that one thing that you're holding on to that you got to get out, man. You know, and I had this six secrets that I was holding, man. I swore I was going to go to the grave with them, and I was never going to tell anybody. You know, people are going to think I'm sick, you know, and for some reason, I mustered up the courage to tell my sponsor, and man, I felt like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders. And I'm not going to tell you guys what those six secrets are, because I already told somebody. You know, all you got to do is tell one person, you know, and that takes the power out of it, you know. So, and right here, this is, I'm going to read this, and it tells us right in the big book, too. Right here it tells us, we pocket our pride and go to it, illuminating every twist of character, every dark cranny of the past. Once we have taken this step, withholding nothing, we are delighted. We can look the world in the eye. We can be alone and at perfect peace and ease. Our fears fall from us. We begin to feel the nearness of our Creator. We may have had certain spiritual beliefs, but now we begin to have a spiritual experience. The feeling that the drink problem has disappeared will often come strongly. We feel we're on the broad highway walking hand in hand with the spirit of the universe. That happened to me. You know, it was absolutely amazing, you know, and I didn't realize that happened to me until I got to read this again. You know, because I'm good at forgetting. You know, I read this, you know, the first time and I walk away from it and I do the steps. I don't remember what I read. You know, when I came back across it the next time in a book study or whatever, I got goosebumps, you know, because I was reading what happened to me after I did my fifth step. You know, and that's when I really realized that what the big book is talking about is happening in my life. You know, and my thinking started to change. You know, they talk about a psychic change in the big book too. You know, they said if you don't experience a psychic change, there's very little hope of your recovery. You know, that's in the doctor's opinion. And that started happening. You know, up until that point in my sobriety, my thinking was, because I was 26 years old when I got sober, my thinking was, what's the odds? You know, this isn't, I'm going with it, but what's the odds that I'm going to stay sober? More likely than not, I'm going to end up drunk again. All my friends are still drinking. And that was my thinking. After I written my fourth step down and I shared these deep, dark secrets with my sponsor, felt like the weight of the world was lifted off my shoulders and I felt the presence of my higher power and I didn't even want to drink no more. You know, and my whole thinking started to change to the opposite of what it was before. You know, and so that brings me to step six. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. If we can answer this, our satisfaction, then we look at step six. We've emphasized the willingness to be indispensable. Are we now ready to let God remove all these things which we have admitted are objectionable? Basically, how I interpret the sixth step is I found out the type of person I was in the fourth step. I shared in the fifth step that horrible person I was that I wrote down in the fourth step. Now in step six, I'm entirely ready to change from that person that I wrote down in the fourth step. Now I'm entirely ready to make my defects into assets. You know, if my major defect was dishonesty, I'm ready to be honest. You know, and we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. I was ready. You know, I didn't want to be that person no more that I just wrote down in step four. I'm entirely ready. You know, and especially I just told somebody. I just told somebody else how I was. You know, so I'm ready. I don't want to be like that. You know, screw that person. You know, so I was entirely ready. And then step seven is just like step three. We ask our higher power, whatever that is, to help us. You know, and I memorize the seven step prayer. And I say that every day too. I'm still sober. You know. Step eight. And then right here it says, it tells you the seven step prayer in here. And then in the very next paragraph it says, now we need more action. Without which we find that faith without works is dead. Let's look at steps eight and nine. We have a list of persons we have harmed to whom we are willing to make amends. We made it when we took inventory. We made it when we did our fourth step. We subjected ourselves to drastic self-appraisal. Now we go out to our fellows and repair the damage done in the past. And it's as simple as that. You know, it's not simple. It's actually pretty hard to make amends. You know, but it's our eighth step is in our fourth step, you know, and it's just a list of people that you have to be willing to make amends to. And then in step nine, you just go and try to correct the past, you know. And that was a big step for me, too. You know, I had a bunch of stupid resentments and things that I ruined relationships for with family members. And I don't know what it is about addicts and alcoholics, but we like to hold on to stuff. You know, for like 15 years. You know, and we never let it go. You know, it rents space in our head, And it happened 15 years ago. You know, and we let it affect us today. And the other person that we have a resentment against or whatever ain't even thinking about it. And you know, but it's affecting us, you know, and that's crazy. You know, I ruined a relationship with my grandmother, you know, for 13 years or something like that because she didn't buy me a Christmas present one year because she didn't even know if I was coming. I mean, that's crazy, you know, and, but that's just, it's nuts, you know, so, we gotta, go out and clean up the past, you know, and, just admit what we did wrong to the other person, you know, and ask, whatever we can do to make it right. You know, it's funny, I made quite a few of my amends, I still have a couple left, but, I go and make these amends, and the response I got most of the time is, well, we're just proud of you, man. We're just glad that you're sober. Keep up the good work. You know, and that's it. You know, it was that simple. But I mean, it made me feel great. You know, and then it talks about the 9-step promises, you know, and those 9-step promises, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we'll be amazed before we're halfway through. That's, talking about halfway through the 9th step. You know, you make a few amends and, you start feeling those promises, man. And, I have sponsees, you know, that I sponsor and they want to balk on step 9. You know, and they don't want to make their amends. And I say, you know, those promises that they read at a lot of meetings, you know, are like, yeah, you don't you want all that stuff? They're like, yeah, I want that. Well, what are you waiting for? You know, it's there if we do the work, you know, this stuff really does work. You know, it's amazing. This book was written in 1939. You know, and it's been getting people sober ever since. It got me sober in 2007. That's an absolute miracle. You know what I mean? Absolute miracle. And it's written exactly the same. Ain't not one word in here has changed in the first 164 pages. And it's getting people sober today that I read the book with. You know, it's amazing. You know, so, it talks about the promises. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. This thought brings us to step 10, which suggests we continue to take personal inventory and continue to set right any new mistakes as we go along. We vigorously commence this way of living as we cleaned up the past. We have entered the world of the Spirit. Our next function is to grow in understanding and effectiveness. This is not an overnight matter. It should continue for a lifetime. It's a lifetime process. I mean, I'm going to be doing this for the rest of my life if I want to have sobriety. You know, and I like it. I love this shit now. You know, I used to hate meetings. You know, I never thought that I would be a person that studies this book and tries to carry the message just because I like to do it. I'm selfish and self-centered. That's the last thing I would want to do. I want to help nobody. Now I'm trying to get drunk, you know. Now it changes your life. All you got to do is read this book with another human being and try to do these things to the best of your ability. You know, and the great thing about sponsorship is that once you get through this book, you get to read this book again with somebody that's brand new that walks into the program. So I get to read it again, and all that stuff that I forgot, I get reminded of what I need to do. You know, so, man, I love it. So it should continue for a lifetime. Continue to watch for selfish dishonesty, resentment, and fear. When these crop up, we ask God at once to remove them right away. There's a higher power again. All you got to do is ask for help. If you never tried, how would you know it didn't work? You know, when I carry the message sometimes, I talk like I was talking to my stubborn, hard-headed self when I first walked in the rooms. You know, because I was a knucklehead. I did not hear anything anybody said. You know, and it went in one ear and out the other. Now I was out to get drunk again. We discuss them with someone immediately and make amends quickly if we have harmed anyone. Then we resolutely, which means faithfully, turn our thoughts to someone we can help. Love and tolerance of others is our code. You know, man. And this stuff works, you know, and then by this time it gives us more promises out of the book. You know, and these are the 10-step promises. And we have ceased fighting anything or anyone, even alcohol, for by this time sanity will have returned. We will seldom be interested in liquor. If tempted, we recoil from it as from a hot flame. We react sanely and normally, and we will find that this has happened automatically. We will see that our new attitude toward liquor had been given us without any thought or effort on our part. It just comes. That is the miracle of it. We're not fighting it, neither are we avoiding temptation. We feel as though we've been placed in a position of neutrality, safe and protected. We have not even sworn off. Instead, the problem has been removed. It does not exist for us. We are neither cocky nor are we afraid. This is our experience. It's a book based on experience, not theory. They're not theorizing anything. They ripped this. They went through trials and tribulations to figure out what worked to get alcoholics sober. You know, so they're not theorizing that this is might happen. They're telling you out of their experience that it will. You know, and it's awesome. We are neither cocky nor we are afraid. That is our experience. That is how we react so long as we keep in fit spiritual condition. How do I keep in fit spiritual condition? I keep doing this. You know, I keep working the steps with another human being. You know, and we're almost at step 12, and I'm going to talk about that. Step 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. I'm going to flip to the 12 by 12. And in here on step 11, my favorite chapter, it said, if you don't understand what that step is, it's just after you know, God saves your life or your higher power or whatever you want to call it, saved your life, you know, up to this point, you know, we should probably try to get to know Him better, you know, and just talk to Him and, you know, that's basically just keeping conscious contact, you know, say your prayers, basically. We liked AA, all right, and we were quick to say that it had done miracles, but we recoiled from meditation and prayer as obstinately as the scientist who refused to perform a certain experiment, thus it proved his pet theory wrong. Of course, when we finally did experiment, tried to pray, and unexpected results followed, we felt different. In fact, we knew different, and so we were sold on meditation and prayer, and that we have found can happen to anybody who tries. It has been well said that almost the only scoffers mean doubters, the only doubters at prayer are the ones who haven't tried it enough. Those of us who have come to make regular use of prayer would no more do without it than we would refuse air, food, or sunshine. And for the same reason, when we refuse air, light, or food, the body suffers. And when we turn away from meditation and prayer, we likewise deprive our minds, our emotions, and intuitions of vitally needed support. Man, that's big right there. You know, so I do this stuff on a daily basis because I read it in here. You know, and that's what they did, and it worked for them, so it can work for me too. You know, and it does. Man, I'm happy all the time, man. You know, I'm constantly smiling, you know, and not much phases me, you know, and I'm just, I'm still on my pink cloud. You know, in June, I'll have, if I make it to June, you know, I'll have 4 years, you know, and I'm still on the pink cloud. I ain't hopped off yet, you know, I'm still riding that thing, and it's good, man. And then step 12, having had a spiritual experience as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. All right, this is out of chapter 7, Working with Others. The very first page, first paragraph. Practical experience shows that nothing will so much ensure immunity from drinking as intensive work with other alcoholics. It works when other activities fail. This is our 12th suggestion. Carry the message to other alcoholics. You can help when no one else can. You can secure their confidence when others fail. Remember that they are very ill. Life will take on new meaning. To watch people recover, to see them help others, to watch loneliness vanish, to see a fellowship grow up about you, to have a host of friends, this is an experience you must not miss. We know you will not want to miss it. Frequent with newcomers and with each other is the bright spot of our lives. You know, and that's so true, you know. I was fortunate that somebody finally asked me to sponsor him. I worked my steps in about 5 months, you know, and then I got into service at 6 months. And I was still hearing voices from all that stuff I'd done. And on my 9-month birthday, you know, somebody asked me to sponsor him. And then 18 days later, someone else asked me, you know, so I didn't even have 10 months and I had 2 sponsees, and I got to read the book again. And I tell you what, that's what did it. That's what catapulted me into the middle of the triangle, you know, and, I'm able to, carry the message now, and, it's just great, man. And, that's gonna save my ass. You know, it talks about that somewhere in here. You know, that when times are hard and you gotta go get through the low spots of your life or whatever, you know, you might be able to make it if you're working with another alcoholic. It also says in the foreword to the second edition, it is also indicated that strenuous work, one alcoholic with another, It was vital to permanent recovery. Vital means very important, essential, life-supporting. You know, and that's what I want. I want permanent recovery. I don't want to go back to that old life. I'm tired of it. You know, never got me anywhere. You know, and the other part of the 12th step, that practice these principles in all our affairs. The principles are the steps, you know, and then there's spiritual principles behind the steps. You know, step one, acceptance, honesty. Two, faith, open-mindedness. Three, willingness, hope, or whatever. Whatever they are, you know. It's funny, I think that's why the steps change people. You know, unless you have a sponsor that's pointing out to you what spiritual principles are underneath the steps, when you're working these steps, they're automatically changing you from the inside out because you're practicing this stuff without even realizing it. You know, and what a great thing to be a part of. You know, I absolutely love this. You know, so I worked the 12 steps, and it changed my life dramatically. You know, like I said, I started sponsoring people at 9 months. I still hearing voices. Around 10 months, those voices went away. You know, weird, huh? Weird how that works. You know, I started helping other people, and those voices and the schizophrenia and all that stuff just disappeared. You know, and a lot of great things have happened to me since I've been sober. That job that I lost twice in the union, I got back. I quit smoking cigarettes using the steps. It's been 3 years, seven, however long it's been, and I haven't had any alcoholic beverage at all. No dope, no weed, none of that stuff. That's a miracle in itself. I got motivated, you know, I'll be damned if, I was mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally sick when I got here. I got a sponsor and worked the steps, and I leveled out mentally, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. I lost over 100 pounds. You know, I was big. You know, I was real big, and I worked the steps, and I got motivated to do something about it. You know, and it's absolutely changed my life. I would not give up that life for nothing. This life for nothing. You know, this is where it's at. You know, and I just had my 30th birthday, belly button birthday, last Monday. What a miracle. You know, most people that are my age are still out there drinking and using. You know, and I'm seeing even more people come into the program now and get it. I'm sponsoring a guy right now in Benicia that is 16 years old and has 2 years of sobriety. You know, and that's amazing, man. And, you know, this stuff really does work if you give it a chance. You know, and if you're new and you're having doubts about the program, I'm sure all of us had doubts. You know, but just remember that every single person in this meeting right now, you know, started out with one day. You know, we all had to start from one day to get where we're at today. You know, but this book will change your life, you know, if you give it a chance. You know, I wish I could just walk around the room, you know, and touch everybody and make you understand how great your life can be if you just give in to some simple suggestions and get a sponsor and work the steps. You know, but unfortunately, I can't do that. And if you're as hard-headed as I am, everything that I just said for this last 45 minutes or whatever, you didn't even hear. You know, and that's the sad reality of it, you know. And we're the lucky ones that are in here. You know, there's so many alcoholics and drug addicts that are still out there right now in their active addictions, you know. And I'm just blessed, you know. I don't even know what else to say, but I guess one more thing, just to a little bit on the insanity. I heard this at a meeting one time, and it helped me a lot. You know, the guy raised up the book and said, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. If you read this book with another human being, you'll be happier than you've ever been in your life. You'll be happy, joyous, and free, happier than you've ever been. You know, your whole life will change. All you got to do is read this to somebody else. Or you can go out there, get drunk, end up in jail, in an institution, dead, loony bin, whatever, and we're so sick that we have to think about it. Isn't that crazy? We actually have to sit there and think about it. Well, I don't know if I want to be happy, joyous, and free. I'd rather be miserable. You know, and that's our sick thinking. You know, it all centers in the mind. And there is help. You know, and it's right here in rooms like this. No, I love this place. If it wasn't for this place and this fellowship and all you good people in here, I look around and see a lot of familiar faces that helped carry the message to me when I got here, and I'll be forever grateful for that. You know, but it does work if you give it a chance. If you never work the steps, how do you know they don't work? I'm going to just shut up now and end it with that. Thank you.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging $1 or $2 a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.